morality if it fits with what they're doing.
Exactly.
If it doesn't interfere with their plan. I have a young friend, known her most of her life, and she has recently moved in with her boyfriend. And we've had several conversations about it. And I said, it's not right. She said, well, I knew you were going to say that. Well, if you knew I was going to say it, why'd you tell me? You know? But it's not right. It's not what you should be doing. It's not. And she was talking about they found a church they're going to go to. I said, you know that Bible that you're talking about? You ought to read it. Because, and you know, these are the words she's expecting from me. This is not news to her. And she said, and this one's the one, it troubles me, and I quit because I had to have time to go think about what I was going to say next. She's a very sweet person, but she said, well, if I live with him, I can afford to quit my job and go back to school, and I really want to do that. Makes my head spin around. You know, have you looked at the definition for prostitution? I mean, I'm not going to say it in those words to her, but selling yourself for money or goods is prostitution. And I think she really cares about this guy. They've been going together forever, and I'm going, why don't you get married? I think that's going to be the eventual outcome of this. So quit making me crazy and get married.
If she is school, knowing that would be your vulnerability.
Yes, yes.
That's the Bible. She's
yes.
You stop it at.
Yeah, she knows I like school.
Which is her morality.
Yeah.
Because it's, I think today a lot of times the world judges morality on how much you harm someone else.
Right. Right.
If you're not harming anybody.
And they say we're not hurting anybody.
Right.
And of course they are, but like you said, it's themselves.
Tell her you know a preacher.
Drive you crazy.
Tell her you know a preacher that can marry you.
I will tell her that. I can get him here today, probably. Anyway, virtue is not considered a virtue. And if you use that term, people will think you're slightly odd. It's an old-fashioned term. And the next thing they'll hit you with is, you can't judge me. And if they know anything about the Bible, they'll say, the Bible says you can't judge me, which, of course, is not what it says, but that's how they're going to use it. So anyway, I thought we'd look at the scriptures about a virtuous wife since we've been doing all these studies. And of course, it really is only about, in my opinion, about a wife because he's giving advice to his son and saying, if you're looking for a woman, this is who you need to find. So these are virtues that any woman, I think, should build on, wife or not wife. Okay. Her worth is far above rubies. What do we know about that that would apply to this part of the scripture?
Rubies are precious.
Rubies are precious. A husband should love his wife as he loves his own body. Honor her as the weaker vessel because of her preciousness.
It's pretty to behold.
It's pretty to behold. The rest of the world sees value, sees beauty.
And the color red, which I guess is why they pick rubies, is what?
Royalty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And they're expensive, also.
They're very expensive. I don't have any. I don't have any. I do not have a ruby.
That's unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. Do you have one? Are you wearing one right now?
30 years.
I agree, Tracy. That is unacceptable. I'll have to get that handled.
So it's an investment. Was my point about saying they're expensive? So because it was. Okay. I mean, it could have even been used as trade.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Investment. I like that.
Absolutely. It's an investment. So what a good wife, a virtuous wife, what a virtuous woman, she's valuable. She's an investment. You get her young. If you treat her right, you'll have something really good later on. She's pretty to behold. The rest of the... And, you know, we have scriptures about she does this and this, and we'll read it later, while he sits in the gates. So he is able to do his work while she's handling hers. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. He will have no lack of gain.
That's huge.
It is huge. It is huge.
That's something we're seriously lacking.
I think you're right.
It's huge and yet beautiful at the same time.
Yes.
It is.
Well, as we know, we read further on, and there's going to be actual physical gain because he's married to her. But I think it's more than just the physical things he can gain. He can gain his stature in the gates. He can gain peace and calm because he trusts her.
She's trustworthy and dependable.
Trustworthy and dependable. He can safely trust her. He can trust her with reason that she's going to make good on what she says. Y'all know my story about my really smart friend, Fletcher, that told Roger he was so lucky to have me because I was sturdy.
No, seriously?
Yeah.
There's a compliment in there somewhere.
The man's head of pediatric neurology at University of Texas, Houston.
Did that explain?
No, he has vocabulary. Sturdy.
Your good, firm foundation.
I kept working with it, trying to come up with something.
I don't think he meant sturdy as in like a tree.
And that's what I tell myself. He's a very nice guy. This will be very hard for me. Deep roots. There you go. Not easily toppled.
Like a lighthouse.
This husband can go about his business. You know, he doesn't have to take his time to go take care of her business.
Or to watch her. Uh-huh. Or to follow her. Or to do any of that kind of thing. Yeah. He can live his life knowing she's going to do her part. Oops. Wait a minute. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. So every day, even the day she's mad at him, even the day she kind of wishes she weren't hooked up with this one.
Every day,
Debbie. Every day. All the days of her life. And I think we misread that when we just say, yeah, that's long term. No, I think it means every day that we do good for this other person. And it may be even as small as not doing evil. You know, if you're having a bad day, if you're having a bad day, maybe it's just refraining from those temptations.
Well, and you can look at it. It's simple and nice, but it's like, okay, let's say I was angry with Jim or something. But he comes home, I still cook him dinner. I'm not giving him dog food. I'm cooking him
real food.
But
yes.
I'm doing good.
Yes.
I'm doing my
and
part.
Not evil. And I think actually that's really important to know that the consistency in our lives is there. I know that when I come home and maybe Roger's annoyed with me, because you know, I don't get annoyed with him because he's too easygoing, but he does indeed get annoyed with me. But he's still real nice to me, and he still doesn't give me dog food, you know. He's going to do what he needs to do. And I think having been in a situation where that was not true, the calm of knowing that it's always going to be good and not evil is so amazing, the peace of that. And I think that's something that we as virtuous women need to remember that we're offering. What are those verses about? Better to be in a house with a leaky roof than a contentious woman.
And a leaky faucet.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. Dripping, I think it says. Dripping faucet.
I was gonna tell you, when Jim first started going overseas, I remember this one wife talking to me, and it was a real moment for me, because she's like, you don't really believe that he's gonna, you know, be faithful, because in her thing was, and I never had thought about it the way she said, but she goes, he's gonna be over there for like a year, you know, and she kind of knew this, he's a man. And I remember her, all of a sudden these thoughts started coming in my head, and then I thought, this is just, and I wasn't a Christian at this point, I thought, this is gonna destroy me. And I remember talking to Jim, and Jim was so hurt that I even said anything about it. And when he came home, which was quite a while, but we had talked about it, and he had said he saw a lot of guys that were married just sit and wonder, you know, what are their wives doing and different things like that. And that's horrible.
Yeah.
That will so destroy you.
Yes.
So that is a huge...
Yes, it is.
Not worrying and always doing good. That is huge.
It is huge. And when we're very young, it's hard to recognize those as huge. You know, you're thinking about romance and glamour and excitement, and it's so hard to recognize calm and peace as huge. And yet, in life, that's so much more true than that very short period of time where adventure seems to be everything. It's a very short period of life.
And bringing that closer to home, I've even seen Christians, young Christians, get married, and one of them is even troubled by their friends. You know, you can tell, you can see the jealousy, and it may not be bad. I don't know, but I'm sure we've all seen that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it goes away.
Yeah.
But
it needs to calm down.
Yes, because it can be very distressing.
You know, what Laura said happened to me when the person moved up here. And, you know, you knew Joe, he traveled all the time. And an older man at church said, "Do you think he's really where he's at?"
At church?
See? At the church.
Oh. Yeah.
And that stuck with me.
That's really
all
bad.
These many, many years. Yeah. And one thing I learned, you don't say anything like that to someone that's in their early, late 30s.
You put those doubts in their mind?
Yeah, and because, you know, mm-hmm. stuck with me.
Well,
and inappropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, very inappropriate. Well, I had
He was joking. I realized
but it's not funny. Not funny. Not funny. And people cover up things they do a lot maliciously and say, well, it was just a joke. And I think that was malicious. And to say
there's nothing nice about that.
No. To say, well, it's just a joke is
kind of curious. I mean, odd that certain things stick in your mind.
They do. I remember one time, and what people did not know is I already knew some things that were going on in my marriage. And somebody said, well, you know, there's two kinds of deer hunting. And I'm thinking, wish you knew what you were talking about. You know? And people, it's malicious and mean and certainly not Christ-like. So, and I'm to the point now where if anybody said something like that, I would respond in that way. But they're not going to with women our age. They're going to say those things to the young people who don't know how to fight back yet. And that's why I say it's malicious. If he's still living, you should go tell him that.
It's not.
And I put all these together because these are all the things she's doing. She seeks wool and flax, works willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ships and brings food in from afar. She rises while it is yet night. Oh, I don't do that. I'm so bad at that. And provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She takes care of the things at home that need to be taken care of. She makes sure there's food and clothing. She does whatever it takes to make those things happen. And, you know, like the merchant ships and brings food from afar, I don't even know what that means. Does she have to travel 10 miles to buy grain? I don't know.
I would take them that she's not lazy in that way. She doesn't just...
That's it, exactly.
She's not all buying the package lifted.
Well, all, I don't know, maybe she is, but whatever she's doing, it works for her family.
Right.
She is doing whatever it takes to make sure they're fed and clothed and comfortable and happy. Even if it means bringing food from afar, getting up early in the morning.
She's definitely not lazy, though.
Not lazy. And we had a couple of lessons on that about industry and sloth. Carol.
So are those the kinds of things it's talking about in verse 11, the second part of verse 11, so he will have no lack of gain?
I think that's part of it. Let's talk some more about that when we get there, but I think that's part of it.
Oh, I thought we passed it.
Did we pass them already?
I kind of
like a pain. I'm sorry. I'll go back.
When it says that he trusts her so much, he's not worrying about it. He can concentrate on what he needs to do, so he can truly. That's how I take that verse.
That's what I think. I think she's adding to the fact that he can do his work. He can have gain because he's not busy trying to take care of all these other things that he shouldn't have to be taking care of. That's what I think.
Anybody? You know what often strikes me also is this. You read this and you realize how busy she is, and then you hear women that say, I have to have a job outside the home to mm-hmm. fulfill myself.
To fulfill myself.
Well, there's not enough time.
I mean, this is a job.
Oh, yes. It's a big job. It's a busy job. I think people who, I'm saying this very broadly, but I think people who say, I need whatever to fulfill myself, are missing something, but it's probably not that thing that they're looking at. If they're looking to find peace and comfort, they're probably looking in the wrong place, because you got to find that from here. Having a job or being rich or whatever is not going to give you peace if you don't feel peace within yourself. Carol.
And we have so many modern conveniences today that makes our lives easier and go faster and things like that.
Oh.
She didn't have any of this.
No.
She worked from
No, she had the
this was
sink
from
wool and flax.
Stuff.
Yeah. Because, you know, wool and flax won't clothe you. Wool and flax have to be turned into clothing, and it's quite a process.
I've always taken verse 15 that she rises at night as, if you don't get up and get yourself ready before the children get up, then you may not
it's
ever
doomed.
Get ready that night.
It's doomed.
So, yeah.
You're right.
I take that night class.
I've seen it many times.
You know, I wasn't, a couple of weeks ago, I was tired and I thought, I want to go, I had to go someplace like around noon. So I thought, I'm going to go downstairs just like I am and I'm going to do the chores down there and then I'll go shower and get ready to leave. And by 10 o'clock, and I'm still in my gown, I'm going, oh, this is horrible. I can't stand this.
Well, could she be talking about babies? You know, they cry in the night. She gets up and feeds them.
Sure. I think all those together are whatever it takes. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And I'm not going to say, I don't want to do that. I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Without grumbling?
Yeah.
We're supposed to.
Right. We have to work on that, Tracy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's grumbling.
Especially in the night.
Yes. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profits she plants a vineyard. So she buys a field.
I love this
one. I do too. She makes a business. You know, she needs a little extra money, or he needs extra money, whatever. And she makes that happen. She's not afraid to take on a totally new thing. Because I'm not convinced that most of the women in this day and time had businesses. Tracy, what do you want to say?
You say the trust factor comes right back here.
Right.
Because she's trusted to do this mm-hmm. by her husband.
Right.
Because obviously he was, especially at this time, they had.
Right. You know, she said, we need some more income, so I'm going to do this. Or, I don't want you to be so concerned about money, so I'm going to do this.
Or look what I did.
Look what I did.
I take this down to even just the grocery store. Mm-hmm. I'm considering my bills. I'm considering my budget.
Right. Oh, I've often said that the very biggest thing a woman can do in today's world to help the financial situation is to pay attention at the grocery store. The kitchen's about the one place where you can cut money. You know, there aren't too many other places. You can't call your landlord up and say, I don't want to pay as much rent. You can move, but you can't do that. So. She girds herself with strength.
There you go.
Strengthens her arms. She's sturdy. Yay.
See, that's what he was saying.
She goes to the gym.
She goes to the gym. So the gym membership is okay.
Okay.
It's all right to pay for that. But I do think it means she takes care of herself. So that she has the strength and ability to do these things she's supposed to be doing.
She was not you could tell by all that she did. I don't think she was.
She doesn't get the vapors and lie on the couch.
She was pretty well.
I think it tells us she's not expecting people to take care of her. She's the one. Now, that's not if you're really ill, you don't need somebody to take care of you. Of course you do. But she's saying...
She's sturdy.
She's sturdy.
That's what it is saying, though.
I should call Fletcher and tell him thank you after all these years.
And it's just, it's inner strength as well as physical.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. What's she doing there?
She's
making cloth.
Yeah.
She's at a...
Packing that woolen.
Yeah, she's at a spinning wheel.
There goes that woolen flax.
Yep, that's the woolen flax right there.
My family would have been naked. Or awfully ugly.
So she knows that what she's doing is quality work. And she's willing... Tracy, I think this is... She stays up late. She gets up early. The woman doesn't sleep. And she does all of these things, again, for her family, and it's quality work. She's not just getting by. She's not just saying, this will do. And I think we do a whole lot of this will do anymore. Sometimes we have to. But our world is different. Our world is different than here. It's much busier. There are a lot of requirements on us that were not required then. I'm pretty convinced that nobody had to sit and try to figure out bills a month at a time. You know, they wanted something from a merchant, they paid for them, and they're done.
Right.
No such thing as credit. And he didn't have to take the car and get the oil changed. And, you know, so it was not an easier world, but a simpler world where your tasks could be more focused, I think.
It was very much so if you didn't work, you didn't eat.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. And yet, with all of this, to take care of her family, to make sure they have clothing and food, and she's going out and buying a vineyard, she still takes care of the needy. So when we get caught up in that I'm too busy thing, and I think we do, I know I do, I have to really pull back and say, wait a minute, why am I here on this earth? And it's not to get the tax return ready. You know, it's not to make sure I volunteer at every place that I think has a value, but it is to focus and do things for people that Christ would do. Laura?
The one thing that I really admire of this example is that she's not all in here. She is very well balanced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She has her priorities straight, and she's very well organized.
Yes, she is very well organized. She's not afraid of snow. They're all clothed with scarlet. Does anybody ever think about what a funny statement that is? She's not afraid of snow. How much does it snow where they were all living?
I've seen bad snow.
There? In this country?
Oh, yes. I've seen some bad snow.
Okay.
I remember as a kid when we went to go out the door and couldn't get out the door.
No, I mean in where the Hebrews lived.
Oh, not
where. That's what I'm saying.
I was just reading an article about that.
But anyway, we know that they know about snow. God talks about having the storeholds of snow. But anyway, she's not worried about it. They're all clothed with scarlet. Scarlet, not just whatever kind of clothes. She's got really good clothing for her family and makes tapestry for herself. It's fine linen and purples.
See, I almost look at that though. They're wearing red, so they're easily spottable in the snow.
But they had money.
They had money. This was a wealthy household because purple is a really difficult color to generate from natural means. There aren't very many purple flowers out there. It's a really difficult color, purple and blue, and you can find a lot of reds. But and fine linen, you know, all that flax she's gathering up, she's making fine linen. So they're wealthy, and they're wealthy in part because of her. Her husband's known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now I have to struggle with this one a little bit. I know that's what his job was, but it still kind of gets to me. He's sitting in the gates and she's staying up all night making linen.
That's when you look at life, though, that a woman does a lot of the what's considered tedious chores, but they're not.
The ancillary jobs that keep everything else going. But if you don't do them, mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't... Most of us don't make our own clothing anymore. A lot of people do, but not like it used to be. But you still have to get clothing. You have to bring clothing into the house for your family.
He says he's known in the gates.
He's known in the gates.
He sits among. Does that mean when he retires, maybe?
No, I think that's where the studious men were, the elders of the city, and people came to them for judgments. I mean, in likelihood, he was a judge. And he's sitting in the gates waiting for the populace to come to him to make decisions and judgments.
He's sitting and she's standing.
Yep. Still the way it is.
Still the way it is.
Think about some of the Bible stories that you read. The one of David's sons, that he waited at the gates mm-hmm. for people seeking judgment, and he gave them the judgment they wanted. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
the
well.
Story of Ruth... Mm-hmm. When Boaz went to find the other relative, he found him at the gates. Mm-hmm. So it kind of indicates that,
It's where this, business this was where, done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's where business was done.
So he would want to be at the gates.
And maybe he was known in the gates as a merchant, but it says he sits among the elders of the land, which makes me think he was part of the legal system.
Which all lends itself to the reputation of the family.
Yes.
And
yes.
that name and how yes. important that family name is.
Yeah. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. She's just got all kinds of things going. She's got that vineyard. She's making linen. She's making sashes. And she's causing him gain financially. But also, I think, just like that one just right before us, this reputation, his name. Because he can't have that same reputation if he has a wife that's lazy and a gossip and stirring up trouble.
Mm-hmm.
his name will not be the same. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Why? Rejoice in time to come.
She's prepared.
She's prepared. She's not worried.
Yeah. She,
yeah. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Okay, so we've got a wealthy woman here whose husband is important, and yet on her tongue is the law of kindness. Have you ever known some of those people? They get a little higher in society, and they think they're all that, you know, and you don't count. And that's not who she was. And yet she had every reason from a worldly perspective to be high and mighty in herself. But she was a righteous woman, and she knew better.
Plus, she's tired.
Yes, she's tired.
She makes me tired.
You go back, though, to when it said, like, she got up when it was still dark, and she mm-hmm. prepared food. She also prepared it for the maidservants. So she was
yes.
still helping
yes.
them.
You know, she made sure that...
She's preparing sashes for the merchant, so it's not beneath her.
No. And I do think we left out that part. She had servants. She had people who took care of her. In some way.
It was very much a team.
Mm-hmm. She watches over the way of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. No, I think we already know that part. We've already seen what she does. But the fact that she watches over her household, I think part of that means they're not idle either. Everybody has a job. We're going to do it. We're going to do it as a team. And we're going to have success, and we won't have to be worried about what's to come because we're prepared. And she's probably not going to have anyone who works for her who doesn't have the same work ethic, whether they want to have it or not. They probably must exhibit this. That would be my guess. Charm is deceitful and beauty's passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised.
That's the whole thing.
That's the whole thing right there. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. She's known as well. Now, I don't think that means she's known in a vain way. I think she's humble. But people in town know who she is. She takes care of the needy. Her family's well prepared. Her husband is able to do his work. And so her works are known by that.
But she doesn't pearl about them.
No. Because it says... She has a tongue of kindness.
It says her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her.
Right. So there's, you know, he's proud of her, and he sounds like a really nice guy. He's proud of her and encouraging her in what she does. So I told you we might be a little short because we were just doing this ourselves, but let's think about this woman for a minute and all these different studies we've had. Are we showing these same virtues? What do we need to add to our lives? And I think it's something we all have to think about, you know, within ourselves. But I certainly know in mind that I could do more for other people. I know I could improve that. Could probably be kinder, although I hate to admit that one. I just don't like to admit that one at all.
You know, I have a list of 9 things written here in my Bible. It must have been a sermon.
Okay.
Years ago, I don't know. But it's got 1, trustworthy and dependable, like I said. 2, devoted, doing husband good. 3, practical skill, like sewing and cooking. 4, industrious individual. 5, compassionate concern for others. 6, character matters, strength and honor. Words of wisdom and kindness. Watch person, and fears the Lord.
That's an excellent summation of our lesson today.
I didn't write down whose sermon that was.
So, questions, other comments, things we need to think about?
I think of my mother every time I read this, back when I was a little girl, because she got up before everyone, and, you know, they got up about 4, and Daddy would head out to the barn to milk the cow and feed the chickens and the animals, and because he had a job, so mm-hmm. he had to get all that done before going to work. And Mother's in the kitchen cooking a big breakfast. We mm-hmm. always had this huge breakfast on the table. Then she would go out if it were summertime and pick the bushels of green beans
right.
And we had to have them broken by the time she got home from work because she had a job. And then when she got home from work, we had dinner, and she started canning.
Right.
And when she finished that, she's at the sewing machine sewing clothes for us. Mm-hmm. This just fits.
Yeah.
And even though my mother's not a Christian, she taught us good moral values. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't get by with anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, my mother's very much the same way. Daddy had to be at work at 6 or 6:30 or something like that. Mike had a paper route. So she's fixing breakfast for people in line for several hours. But the thing I remember most is when we have that little house, that house is not insulated, just in case y'all didn't know that. So it's...
At all?
No.
Seriously?
Because of when it was built. It's not insulated. You can't get into it to blow any in. But anyway, the parts they added on are insulated, but the original house isn't. So it's cold when you get up in the morning. And we had a gas heater in the bathroom, and it had those little cage things out from it. You know? Mm-hmm. And I remember she put my socks on it, and they'd be toasty when I went in there in the mornings.
I used to melt my shoes on those.
And I can't tell you how many mornings I got up, and she was already at the sewing machine. Yeah, that's just where she was. If I happened to wake up before she got me up, she was sewing.
I look back and I think, oh, how did she do it?
Mm-hmm.
How did she have this big garden and an outside job? And so every stitch of clothing we all wore.
The industry in the generations prior to ours, I think, are amazing. The level of industry that individual people showed in their lives. But I guess if you've gone through a depression, kind of has an impact on what you're going to do to make sure that doesn't happen to you again.
They had to then. There was no... They didn't have money to go buy.
Right.
And now, if you had something homemade there for a while, then that was embarrassing. You didn't want anything that was homemade.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of going back.
Yeah. Now, that one never hit me because I am so not a clothes person. If you know me, you know that because I'm just not. And whatever mother made, I was fine with. Now, Susan would never complain, never ever complain, always smiled, always said thank you, and it hung in the closet.
She didn't wear it.
There were often things she did not wear, but she never said, oh, I can't wear that. She just left it. I wore it. If somebody else was making it, I wore it. It was fine with me. But I think gratitude has kind of faded as well. You know, when we... Maybe it's hard for kids to look at their parents. At my job, I work at a computer. I sit on my couch and I work at a computer. I'm working, but it doesn't look very hard. You know, I'm not up and canning and doing those things that are so hard. And I think in all of our collective minds, we've kind of gone to, well, you know, nobody has to work as hard as they used to. And that's probably true physically.
Well, this, you know, the generation now that is... they've been tagged the entitled generation, and it's not all their fault.
No, somebody entitled them. So
we work smarter these days.
I hope so.
Because we can.
True. I hope so.
Well, you know, remember Judy Palmer. Mm-hmm. What's Judy's last name?
I don't remember now.
I don't either. But they were quite wealthy. You know, their bonuses were what we would make a year. And she said it was very difficult rearing her children because they could give them anything that they wanted to do. So they had to have some kind of sense of priorities.
And it's hard when your kid really wants something and they're at that age when fitting in with everybody means so much to them. It's difficult.
And you know you can get it for them.
Yeah. I remember that specifically when tennis shoes started costing $100 a pair.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't have cost $100 a pair, and they never had before. And Clay was about 12. No, he had to be a little older because Randy was gone. And he wanted a pair of those, and I just wouldn't do it. And I called Mother crying. I said, I can do that. I have the money. And she said, I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, when the Colophons were popular, Sherry was saying, she wanted a pair of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no.
Yeah. And it's not inflation where everything costs $100. It was those specific shoes when everything else still costs $20.
Yeah.
You know.
I gave them the option. I said, this is what I want. If you want, you could
do it. Yeah, and I did that
right away, and they went with what I could afford.
Yeah, I did that. All right. So next week, Yvonne, do you want to give me those scriptures and I'll put a lesson together about it, about gluttony? Or shall we move a different direction?
I printed some stuff out after I talked to you and everything. And so I only have one copy. If you make a copy right
now. I will. So we'll probably do that. Let me see what's there.
Well, I'm just kind of on the internet pulling up stuff, so I don't know. Well, I'll really look at it.
I'll look at what you've got if you don't mind. And if not, where are we going to go from here? What are we going to do next? This would only loosely hang together as a series. It wouldn't really be a series. But there are a whole lot of lists in the Bible that tell us things we should do or we should look out for or we should be aware of. And I've kind of put together a few of them in my head and just call them God's lists. And the things that he's saying, look, bullets. When we have something important we want to say in an email, we put it in bullets so that people will catch it. So maybe we could look at some of the lists that are there. Like I said, that only loosely hangs together as a topic. Because the lists are all about different things. But if somebody has a stroke of genius between now and Sunday, let me know. All right.
I'll jump over one.
Who's going to do our introduction next week?